Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's All About Relationship. I'm David Novak, and this is episode number 86. Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you are a new visitor to our podcast, thanks for joining us, and we believe that you'll have a good time. And if you're returning, thanks for, being faithful and listening in on a regular basis. We really appreciate it. A couple things just to remind you, we have a Facebook page. It's called It's All About Relationship. And we're also on Instagram under David Novak Podcast, only because somebody else had taken the other name, so we couldn't name it, that kind of thing. Follow me as an actor if you want to. I would love for that to happen. You can catch me on Facebook at David Novak Actor on Facebook. Instagram, same thing, David Novak Actor. Let's see, what else? Twitter, same name. Parler, all of that stuff. Anyway, check it out. We think you'll have a good time if you can, follow us and do all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so normally I just give you my thoughts and encouragements on some things having to do with the relationship with God and others and even yourself. And from time to time, we have a special guest on. And actually, now for the past, four times we've had a special guest on. We had Cody Gunderson a couple of weeks ago. We had Tyler Smith and Jeff Smith 2 weeks ago. I think it was Daryl Mapson last week. And today we have another special guest. And I'm going to tell you all about my friend who I've known for, 30 years or so. I don't even know, a really, really long time. I'll tell you his name in a second because I like to do the teaser thing, Anyway, my friend, he's an actor, a singer, a writer, a comedian, a musician, song and dance man. There's nothing that this guy can't do, I don't think. He makes me laugh every time we talk. I can't even tell you where we met. Well, we met through really good friends of ours. That's how we met. But my friend and I have written a couple of scripts together, and we're still working on trying to make those things happen. He has worked extensively for Disney, for Walt Disney, Disneyland, and also with Knott's Berry Farm, I believe, a little bit right now. He had a stint on General Hospital. And I did too, but we never worked together on GH, I don't think. Anyway, but he did, I believe, 17 episodes for GH. He was also on As the World Turns, and he was also in the Brady Bunch movie. And yes, we did work together on that one very briefly. So that was 100 years ago, I think, something like that. Anyway, welcome to the show, John, I've got to say it, Eden. Yes. Calm yourselves down. John, how are you, buddy?
Hello? Hi, how you doing, Dave?
See, he makes me laugh all the time. I'm good, John. How are you? I never get to use those effects, so I figure I had to use them this time, right? John Eden.
I love it.
Do you?
I love it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, cool. So, John, what are you doing right this minute?
Right this minute, I am sitting on a chair.
I knew you were going to do that.
In my friend's house, and we're eating chocolate and having tea. And in a minute, we're going to be watching Home Alone. So that's what I'm doing.
Very cool, John. And other than right this minute, what are you doing in general? Kind of.
Well, okay. We did that short film. We did a short film just recently that came out, and so we're still actually working a little bit on that, getting it into a couple of more film festivals.
And
I'm moving out to Tennessee.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm nuts. Actually, I'm going to say this.
Yes.
Because I believe that God wants me to go out there. I'm really interested in getting into faith-based and family films to write and act and hopefully produce some things. And so I was actually standing out there in my mother-in-law's backyard one day, and I said, God, why in the world would you want me to move out here? And no lie, he said, I want you to look up on the internet every faith-based film you can think of. So I did. And he said, now look at where those production companies are, which I also did. Now I'm doing this all in her backyard. Right. And then, and I noticed that where we live in Seymour, Tennessee, that if you just go out in almost like somewhere around 12 hours or so, it would be like a spoke of a wheel. And all these production companies that do faith-based and family-based films are all around that area.
Wow.
And, you know, like Texas and California were probably the furthest ones that went out. But other than that, you could just see production companies shooting out in like, if I was to drive in about a 12-mile radius all the way around that area.
Wow.
And that was before I knew that, you know, Georgia was turning into a big hotbed of film production.
Yeah.
So I went, okay, if that's what you want me to do, then here I go. And
well,
there I go.
So you're physically leaving tomorrow, right? Is that what you said?
I'm leaving. Well, I'm still, you talked about it earlier. Just now because of COVID, Knott's Berry Farm stopped, but I was doing some improv work for Knott's Berry Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm heading out to Tennessee, but I'm due to be back on the 28th of December in case it opens up again. So I'll be back out here in December. And then from that point on, I will have to make a decision on where I want to stop and live. And that's everybody else, including my wife, live in Tennessee right now. So I would like to head back there.
Yeah, I can get it. I can see that. Everybody in the family and your loved ones, and I'm probably the only one you have out here, right, John?
No, heck no. We have that movie. We're still writing together. So.
That's right.
We still have things to do. I still have stuff to do with you.
Yes, absolutely. I kind of alluded to that at the very beginning. You and I have actually written, I think, 3 movies together.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 3. And we're still trying to get them produced. But I believe I believe we will. I really do honestly believe that. So, you did a lot of work for Disney. Can you kind of give us an idea or tell the listeners what you were doing with them mostly?
Yeah, I've been there for a really long time. I've done a lot of stage shows for them. I actually got involved with a band called Billy Hill and the Hillbillies, and we did a lot of touring. Did some it's a comedy, 4-piece comedy band that kind of does like a rockabilly kind of a thing.
Right.
And we actually built a show around a symphony orchestra. So we had actually done a lot of like Boston Pops. We've done stuff out in Texas with the Texas with orchestras out in Dallas-Fort Worth Orchestra. We've gone to Arizona several times and played with a lot of different orchestras throughout the country with hillbillies in the fronting the orchestra, which is pretty, pretty darn fun. And then I did a lot of writing for them. We wrote several shows for comedy shows for them that one of them we were actually 4, I think we've done for the past probably 30 years, 20 years. And then I did I worked with them. I toured to Singapore, New York, Chicago. I wrote and then ended up acting in it, which was pretty funny because they said, yeah, we want you to write this show for a television cartoon that is doing a contest. And I said, oh, okay. And I wrote the whole thing up for them. And they said, great. Can you also do that for us? Oh, then I was like, oh, okay. Wow. Hey, honey, I'm going to be going on tour with this thing that I wrote. So I did that for a little while too. So they've been, Disney's been very good to me. I've had a lot of opportunities to write and do things with them. And so it's been a fun 30-something odd year career.
Wow.
With those guys. Yeah.
Now
they've sent me a lot of places.
Now, if the audience has ever been to Disneyland in Anaheim, California, and if you've ever experienced the Golden Horseshoe Review, I think I have the name of that right. In the past, you may or probably have seen a show. And John was the headliner in that show, right, John?
Yeah, I've done either Billy and the Hillbillies, or I played the ugliest girl in Frontierland at one point. that's a feather in my cap. I'll yeah, tell you that is. Right now.
Oh, a feather on your face too, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you can't imagine how weird some men can be, even with a guy in drag. So I'll tell you what. I am a boy underneath this dress, sir.
Yeah, for those that don't know what John looks like, he is a good-looking guy, but the ugliest woman you'd ever want to see.
Oh, yeah, I can't be a girl.
No, no way. Okay, so
that is something.
So you just did the short, as you mentioned, called Dating Under Quarantine. And it's about 10 and a half minutes, I think, something like that, if I remember right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 10 or 11 minutes, something.
Yeah, and I watched it recently, and I'm not just saying this, but I told you off the air, but it is really, really, really good. I mean, it's really good. It's got a tremendous message in there.
Thank
and everything.
You.
And it's very well written, and the acting is good, and directed, and the cinematography on it. I mean, all of it, everything. It's really, really good. But, John, I know you have some backstory on the short, and how it involved God working with you and your partner, your writing partner. So tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. It was, when we, Kenny Landman, who is who's the director and the executive producer for it, and we co-wrote it together, he actually got a hold of me and he said, hey, we were in quarantine. I think it's probably April, I think, or somewhere around there. And we've been in quarantine now for about a month or so. And they came up with a quarantine film festival. And at that time, we all thought we were going to be out of quarantine in June. So we had, it was like late April, early May. He gets this idea and he says, hey, here's a film festival. Let's do it. And he came up with the idea. Both of us are huge, huge Home Alone fans. We love that movie. Mm-hmm. And we love, the writing, John Hughes' writing, Chris Columbus's direction, and especially Julio Marcotte's cinematography on that film. And so he says to me, I really want to do this and like a Home Alone feel to it. And I want to go all out. I don't want it to look like, one camera and we're running around, because the rules for the quarantine film festival were you had to be only with the people in your house, or you had to do it all remotely. So that's what we did. And so we came up with the story, the idea of, somebody trying to date in a quarantine situation. And we wanted it to be, have that Home Alone feel, here's all this stuff that's going on. How does a guy get a chance to date someone? How do you meet somebody? How do you even work in this kind of a situation? And so we came up with it and we wrote it. And then we had to, we had about, I think we wrote it in 2 days or something like that, maybe. And then we had to get a cast together and start production. And I remember we had, I think the way Kenny wrote out the whole production schedule, we had 2 days to write it. And then we spent 2 days doing test shots because we wanted to make sure we got the color and everything right. We wanted it to look like we had a whole crew of people around us filming this thing when we didn't.
It does look like that too. I mean, it really looks top shelf all the way.
Thank you. And so we read things and we had Jody and I, my wife had a production company out here. So Kenny and I talked about what we did for that and how we shot things. And then we also, one of the guys who actually is in the movie also is also a director of photography. He couldn't really do too much with us, but he was a big help. His name is Jonathan Salas, and he was one of that. We call him the happy couple who are in the film that the lead actually looks out a window and sees this couple that gets to be together while everybody else has to be apart.
I remember that scene. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's actually a director of photography, and he said, hey, well, they started, him and Kenny started to talk a lot about how to get the filters to look like Home Alone, and we started taking shots. And so Kenny would set up our cameras, and we had a couple of DSLRs and then a professional camera that Jonathan had. And each one of us are in our own homes. And then we had to rely on, everybody else's iPhones or whatever they happen to have with them. And so, Jonathan would help us with the lighting and how we had to light things to get what we wanted. And then Kenny found out, you know, hey, let's get this filter and how to use he had a really good telephoto lens that we could kind of work through with him. And then I had my camera at my house. And so we just started filming, and poor Kenny, I think, had the worst part of it, because, you know, everything you have to do over the shoulder shots, you know, how you have to do 3 or 4 different takes of the same scene. Well, he has nobody at his house. So he is setting up, resetting shots up, resetting the camera, pulling focus, and all this by himself. And so that was kind of the same thing at our house.
So you really did shoot it remotely?
Yeah. We did it all. Wow. Okay. Everybody shot their own stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because it doesn't come across weird or anything like that. I mean, it really does look like you had a whole crew in the whole thing. It's really interesting.
Oh yeah, that was I think all of us communicating together. We did a lot of Zoom calls, and you know.
Oh wow. Okay.
Kenny's on Zoom directing people and those kind of things. So It was a lot of that, and it took a lot of work to get it done. I remember. Kenny, luckily, he had 2 actual light stands with soft boxes that he could use at his house that he had bought a while back. And then he was using, like, you know, can lights with light bulbs in them. And I had at my house, I had one of those stand-up lamps that has the halogen light inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, wait, I can take this bulb out, get a big, you know, 52K light, stick it in there and turn it sideways and put it up on a chair and make that my key light. And, we're pulling house lamps and everything else and turning them sideways. And
well, that's bizarre.
It was just, yeah, it was crazy. And then trying to get sound, to get the sound right, and working with microphones. And we had moved our whole production stuff back to Tennessee. So I had nothing but a DSLR at my house.
Oh, wow. So you're really going off the fly, right? Seat of the pants type of. So how did God move in this whole thing with you?
Well, so like you kind of intimated earlier, you know, we had all these different cameras, and while we were actually began principal shooting, we still didn't have a girl. We hadn't gotten confirmation yet from RC, Armand, who's the therapist. So we were still, you know, Kenny is like trying to get that cast at the same time he's shooting. And then we didn't have an editor for the film. So we were looking on, Jody was an editor, but she wasn't available to work for us. So he's trying to put out feelers for an editor, and God had moved tremendously. There was a point there where we were like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden we get Drew Lahat to be the an editor. And he's done a ton of stuff out there. And he just goes, yeah, I'm not doing anything right now. I'm in quarantine. I'd love to do a project. He gives us a little time frame. You know, I've got about a week or 2 weeks to help you out. We got Andy Gubach to do the original music for the film. And he's another one, you know, he's going to put in some time. And then we actually got Matthew Lopez, we call him M-Lo, to do the sound for us, to help us with the sound. Because we had all this different sound coming in from all these different, you know, places. And they're like, yeah, I've got a little bit of time, I can help you out. Well, once we got going on the project, and, you know, thank God, Kenny was like, no, it's not right. And we talk about how things were coming together with the editors. And, you know, now it's getting... We're about 2 days away from the film. We've got to be rushing things. And these guys, the Gilmans, worked with us to get the film ready for the film festival.
Wow.
And we're like, where did they come from? How did we get them? Kenny and I would pray constantly about, you know, what we needed. We got everybody to agree. You know, RC agreed to doing the therapist. We finally got Shannon to agree to be the love interest. Mm-hmm. And so everything started to come together. And once we got the film, we put it together and we sent it off at the very last minute to the film festival. I mean, no lie, minutes before the deadline.
No, seriously? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. We were so worried that we were actually calling up to make sure that they got the film. Because it was like minutes before 12 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So we put it in there and they chose us to be selected just before they decide who's going to be the winners of the film. So we got through it all all the way up to that point. They loved the film and everything. And so we were really happy with where we ended up. We didn't expect to get that far.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Kenny was talking to the editor, Drew, and they were like, hey, you know, let's do a little. And Drew started to volunteer to spend a little more time to help us out. Emma started to do the same thing. We started to work a little bit more on the music, and we said, let's work this out and massage it the way we really want it to go. Now that we're not under a 10-minute deadline that was for that one film festival, let's expand it out to the way we want it, the way we want to get it, which I think we only added about a minute and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And Drew was like all on board, you know, we're cutting, we're tightening things up, and God just really worked with those, you know, those people to say, yeah, let's keep going with it. Let's keep going with it. And we thought we had 2 weeks with these guys, and all of a sudden here we are. We're going into 2 months now of post-production. We're really going after it. And mm-hmm. and they all were on board. We even got a marketing guy, Albert Rios, to help us out. And
wow.
He too, you know, I got a little bit of time, but then he went off on his own, and God just came, brought these people into our lives, and just, and they're not all believers, you know, a lot of them were not believers, but mm-hmm. he just used them mm-hmm. to help us create the film that you saw. And we were really, you know, really thankful for all of that went on there.
Now, you know, we have, I would say, and I'm just guessing with our audience that listens to It's All About Relationship, I'm just taking a wild guess here that probably 90% are Christians. However, I'm thinking there might be some that are not. So when they hear you say something like, you know, God just brought it all together, God, you know, used this person, and God did that, and God did this, what, I mean, explain to, I mean, I, of course, I know what you mean, and most of our audience does too, but I just have this feeling that there's a couple people out there saying, what do you mean God did that? What's that? What do you mean he did that? Come on, John.
Right.
Tell me.
Well,
I know what you mean, but you tell them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Kenny would like say, we call each other up. I mean, it was like a daily thing where we would spend hours talking to each other, and we'd send over the cut of the film and we'd talk about it. And here we have a guy just talking about the director or the editor for one. Here's a guy who's just said, I'm just going to give you a little bit of time. Let me have this before another project comes up. And, you know, Kenny would go, what do you think? And I go, well, you know, how about, what if we tighten this down? What if we tighten this down? And then Kenny would say, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll give him that note. And then he'd send it to Drew, and Drew would come back and go, no, I think it's good the way it is. And Kenny's like, no, it needs to be tightened up. And then he'd start sending him, you know, Home Alone shots and things from other movies where, you know, like, even Training Day, because the opening film was kind of like Training Day. He sent him these shots. He said, no, I need it to be colored like this. So Kenny never let up on his vision for what we wanted the film to be. And we would just go ahead and just say, okay, well, you know, I know he's only going to be with us for a little bit, but let's see if we can get him to make these changes. And we were hesitant, but Kenny wasn't really hesitant. You know, we'd pray about this stuff, and then Kenny would go out there and just go, no, I'm going to get him to do this. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Drew said it in an interview we had at the preview. He said, you know, after a while, he'd look at the film and he'd go, yeah, they're right. And he started, you know, just on his own, here's a guy who's only going to work for us for 2 weeks. He got really into the film, and that wasn't us. That had to be, you know, you can call it what you want, but we call it a divine influence to help.
Right.
To get somebody to see what we were seeing.
Exactly.
And to get them to go along with the whole thing. And the same thing happened with the music. Mm. We had the music and we were kind of like going, you know, we want that continuous theme like was in Home Alone, where the theme comes back in different ways throughout the film.
Right.
We really wanted that to be part of the film. And so we had him rewrite some of the music a little bit and take some things different, which again, we were like, you know, you're kind of cringing that we're going to ask a guy who's doing this stuff for free. Hey, and he wrote all original music. Hey, oh, wow. Dude, not exactly what we want. Can you maybe fix it a little more? and he, you know, he did it. And you're just like shocked that he just, yeah. And hey, wait, let's try this. And he would try things out. They were all so willing to go the extra mile for us that we just, it wasn't us.
Right.
You know, if anything, we were being really annoying.
Yeah.
more than anything, you know.
And you
I
know,
think it really had. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what that's called? It's called the favor of God.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we believe. That's why we think it was God, because there's no way in the real world, as annoying as we were about the nitpicky as Kenny was getting with what he really wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way that that wasn't happening without some divine intervention.
Yeah, and God really does touch people's hearts. And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." So if we put God first place in our lives and make him the number one priority in everything that we do, then he will continually bless, our steps, and he will order our steps and cause us to walk in favor with other people. And some of the stuff that you're alluding to, the movie that we just wrapped on, The Lost Outlaw, a faith-based Western, which Daryl Mapson brilliantly wrote, directed, and produced, and acted in. But he was telling us on the last show that we did that he was my special guest on, you know, some of the great things similar to what you're talking about, that God intervened in people's hearts and did crazy, awesome things for us that gave us great favor. And the same kind of thing, because he put God first place in the Lost Outlaw project, just like, you know, you and Kenny did in the short Dating Under Quarantine. So that's awesome, the way that God moves, and you are an example, and giving an example and a witness to, you know, anybody that will listen, right?
Yeah. That's exactly. We were even praying about because we both believe God wanted us to do it. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you're doing kind of a secular film and you're going, how is this ever going to be a blessing to people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't understand 10-minute film. How can we possibly, you know, exalt you in our project? We really had no way to do it until actually like your podcast.
Cool.
And being able to say, you know, look back and go, yeah, look at how he's really was involved.
Mm-hmm.
In every aspect, even when we were like overwhelmed, the both of us had gotten overwhelmed at different times during the process, and how, you know, we just sought God out and really wanted to make sure that we were doing this all for the right reasons and not, you know, just because we wanted to be famous or something like that. But,
right.
you know,
right.
And we hope, and I hope that, you know, even if it's not, if it's a business, if you're in a business to, you know, it's the same thing. It's just, you get to a point where you go, there's no way we can do this without God, and you just leave it before him. And I think he likes it that way, if you want my honest opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. It's kind of like,
I think he likes when we're, you know, floundering around like fish and going, hey, I don't know what to do right now. Help me out. And I think that's exactly when he goes, okay.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like when Jesus was walking on the water and he comes up across the disciples and they're in the boat
mm-hmm.
you know, and they didn't know for sure who it was. And they said, if it's you, Lord, bid us to come. So Jesus tells Peter, come on out and take a walk. So Peter gets out of the boat, right? And he's starting to walk on water.
Yeah.
And as long as he keeps his eyes on Jesus, he's walking on water. And then he takes his eyes off of Jesus for a minute. And then he notices that, oh, I guess we're in a storm. And then he starts sinking. So anyway, it's kind of like, get out of the boat, right? Get out of the boat and walk on water
exactly.
with me. But you got to take my hand and do it. Otherwise, it's not going to work, right?
So Exactly.
It's kind of what's happening with it.
I think for any of us in this, especially if we're aiming, you know, we really want to honor God in our projects.
Yeah.
You know, even like your film, and I saw that, by the way, I saw your trailer.
Oh,
I'm going to
cool.
plug it here because
oh, good.
I can,
thanks.
And you can't stop me because I'm talking. I really enjoy it. I can't wait to see it because it looks really good.
Oh, thanks,
so,
John.
And I'm not saying that just to say, because I didn't have to say anything if I didn't want to.
That's true.
I thought it looked really good, and I was really excited. I love Westerns anyway, so I'm excited to have a faith-based Western. I can't wait to see it.
I know.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, you know, I can imagine the things that he must have gone through. And I did hear one of the podcasts with you and the Wrangler about, you know, like you having that tumble.
Oh, and, Cody was the Wrangler.
You know,
Cody and his wet belly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. My horse threw me for those that didn't hear that podcast. Go ahead.
But I can imagine the things, you know, that you have to go through when you're dealing with animals and, mm-hmm. and all the things that you had to deal with. I'm sure you had to place that in the hands of God a lot of times during that film. And are you aware of The Chosen? Have you seen that series?
Yes. I, matter of fact, not only did I see it, but I had two auditions for him.
Did you really?
I did. I auditioned for two different roles. They had me audition, but...
That is one of my dreams to be on that
series.
I know.
It would be, yeah.
But he was talking about the things that he had to put in God's hands too to get that thing out there. So, you know, I think it's when we get to that point where we don't know what to do is when God is like, okay, I'm ready. Need some help?
There and you go.
He's waiting for us. I think he's waiting for us at that moment.
You know, that is absolutely true. There's no doubt about it. And we get so, I'll just speak for myself right now. I get so caught up sometimes in doing my own thing that, you know, it's like I get so far out going down this one road. And it's like, wait a minute. Bring it back.
Right.
And go down the road that God wants me to go. You know,
I try to,
you know, go down his roads. But, you know, being fleshly and human, you know, just like, well, you know how it is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I have. Look at me. I'm still hanging between two states trying to figure out if I should leave yet.
Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah, and my wife is not even here, so that should be a subtle hint in itself. But
maybe so.
Still hanging in because I know how this system works. I'm still working out here. I'm still doing improv and doing that stuff and working with the band. So I'm like, what happens if I go out there? God, are you really going to be there for me?
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I know.
We're all dealing with it.
I completely understand. Hey, so much cool stuff on that short that you did. Again, it's called Dating Under Quarantine. And if somebody wants to watch it, how do they watch it, John?
If they want to watch it, it's on YouTube under Dating Under Quarantine. We have a YouTube channel called Dating Under Quarantine, and there's a lot of stuff on there, including the film. Okay. We're hoping to get about 50 more viewers, and then we can actually just go have the whole film be Dating Under Quarantine. So I think we're a little bit short in that respect. But if you go to YouTube, Dating Under Quarantine, you'll find the movie called Dating Under Quarantine. There's a lot of weird things out there. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, Dating Under Quarantine.
Okay.
And then we have a Twitter at Dating Under QT.
QT.
So
okay.
That's how you, yep. Okay. That's how you can find us.
And if they want, how about, do you have a Facebook actor page, John?
I do. John Eden, EADEN.
Right.
Not like the garden. and that's on Facebook and on Instagram. Same thing. And then my partner, Kenny, he's a little different. He's not on Facebook, but he is on Instagram, and it's K Wylin, and it's KWYLIN, and you can keep track of him as well.
KWYLIN, is that what it was?
On Instagram.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll actually go on there and follow him myself, too. So there you go. There you go. Hey, John,
great
having you today. But before you go, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put you on the spot because I tend to do that sometimes. so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no.
I know. But before we go, by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, don't hang up when the show ends, okay, because I want to talk to you. So stay on the phone. But I'm going to put you on the spot as we take the show out now. But would you mind praying for the audience right now?
Oh, I wouldn't mind at all.
There you go.
I wouldn't mind at all.
Awesome.
Dear Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for David and his podcast as it reaches out to the people who are listening. And I pray that as they hear his podcast and they're listening to the guests or talking, that as he's talking, that they are, as I was, that they are filled with an understanding of who you are and how much you love us. That each and every one of us, especially those who are listening to this program right now, are chosen by God to be something special, that he has a plan for good and not for evil for each and every person, even those who right now aren't believers who might be listening to this program. You're here because God, unbeknownst maybe to you, God has called you to this place at this time and has a plan for you. in your life. And so I thank you for his ministry that he puts out there for us. I thank you for each one of these listeners. I pray for them, for their health, for their prosperity, for their goals and dreams, that you bring them to fruition in every single one of these believers and every single listener in his audience. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate you praying for the audience, and thank you for the awesome faith that you displayed today. Hey, thanks for being on our show, John. Don't forget to check
You're
out.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Don't forget, people out there, Dating Under Quarantine, check it out. And John's Facebook, too. John, don't hang up. I want to talk to you. Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us today on episode number 86 of It's All About Relationships.